All right. Good morning, everybody. As we get started this morning, I was looking at the calendar, and I just want to remind you that we are a week and a half away from the beginning of the Lenten season for this year. So a week from this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. As many of us are aware, Lent is this tradition that's developed in the Christian faith as a time of reflection and preparation for Easter, when we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And I just want to remind you about Lent each year because it provides us a good opportunity to put some extra focus on a relationship with Christ and challenge ourselves to grow in some new ways. Maybe that means deepening your prayer life, working on your Bible reading habits. Maybe that's a time to focus on giving up certain habits or temptations to the Lord. As many of you know, people use this as a time of fasting as a way of giving something up in exchange for time with the Lord. Or maybe it's a time for you to work on developing a connection with people in ways that allow you to share God's love with him. And, you know, when I think about this, I don't want it to be just a tradition and here's the things that we do and this is what I want everyone to do. I want you to use this time to your best advantage to grow close to God. So what is it that God is calling you to do this Lenten season? To really focus on him and draw close to him. And that's what I want to remind you to be thinking about as we get close to that time. For today, I want to explore a passage with you in 1 Peter that really speaks to how good God is to us and the way he meets us where we are and works with us just as we are as we seek to grow and change. I think it's a good introduction, really, to this time of reflection, to think about how we're going to change, how we're going to grow. This is God's character and his meeting us where we are. This passage really stood out to me this week as I was thinking about a short video I shared with Treehouse about the meaning of empathy. I posted it on Facebook. I know maybe some of you saw it. I know some of you have already seen it. But it occurred to me as I watched that and thought about it that God demonstrates empathy for us so well. He is this all-powerful, all-knowing God. He knows how we ought to be living our lives, and yet he takes us just as we are. He meets us in our moment right here and right now. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. He entered into their world, not expecting them to come to him first. As Romans 5:8 says, God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's just a demonstration of how God meets us where we are, comes into our mess, into our shortcomings, and loves us just as we are. So I'd like to just start out this morning showing this video. You can see what it says, and then we're going to turn to the Bible. And with that in mind, think about how God comes to us and approaches us. So let's go ahead and show that video right now.
So what is empathy, and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions, where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, you can climb down. I know what it's like down here, and you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb. but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
A lot of powerful things in that, a lot of things to think about. Oop. But what I want to focus on today, I want to take those ideas and think about God's character toward us and how he actually demonstrates this connecting with us on our level, on meets us where we are in our emotions, whatever we're going through, and just offers himself to us so well. This is something I see him doing, and I've found it to be one of the most powerfully transformative aspects of the gospel. This is one of the things that sin produces in us is an abundance of shame. You recall the first thing the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve did after they disobeyed God? What was that? They hid, right? We take a look at Genesis 3. They hid, they covered themselves up. Genesis 3. Verses 7 and 8, it says, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Just before this, right, the end of chapter 2, at the end of the creation account, it says that both Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed. And now, they're still naked. Nothing's changed physically, but now they're covered in shame, and they need to hide themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then God goes on to ask him, you know, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of this tree that I commanded you not to eat? God knew the answer. And Adam continued to hide by pointing the fingers at Eve. And Eve pointed the fingers at the serpent, right? They were ashamed of what they did, and they were trying to hide it. That's what sin often produces in us. We want to cover up that part of us that says we've done something that might make us unacceptable, that brings judgment on us. We're afraid of that judgment that might come. And the only way, however, to grow past those things is to bring them out into the open, to expose them and admit to them. And so Jesus comes into our lives and meets us where we are, sins and shortcomings and all. As we turn to him and offer our lives to him, he's able to draw those things out without judgment and condemnation. Instead, he offers grace, kindness, and patience. And that's what brings us to the point of being able to grow and change and actually become the people that God wants us to be. So let's open to 1 Peter chapter 5 and explore this idea a little bit more, taking a look at some of the verses at the beginning of this chapter. So we're going to read from the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm just going to read the context starting in verse 1, and then we'll get all the way down through verse 5. So here's how Peter begins this chapter. He says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples for the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So Peter is communicating to the church, and he's starting with how they should be interacting with one another. And he's going to get a little bit further in here how God interacts with us. And it's interesting. It's so interesting to see how the Bible speaks to those in charge. He's saying to the elders, to the overseers in the church, exercise oversight in the flock, right? And so often when we read just that part, we think about authority. We think about telling people how they should be. But God flips that upside down all the time. And he's saying, no, not lord it over them, not domineering, but by being examples. And he's already starting to lead us into being more Christ-like in our interactions with one another. So those who are in charge, serve the flock around you. Be examples to them. Love them the way the Lord loves us. The next verse, he turns to the younger people in the church. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And it takes both this relationship that develops of trust between people, both those leading and setting an example and those following. But those following have to be able to trust those in charge. It requires a give and take. And so Peter goes on, in the last part of verse 5, he says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So he's calling all of us to humility toward one another. And then he's going to go on calling us to be humble to God and give it and show us how God interacts with us. And I see this as just setting us up for this is the kind of interactions that God wants us to have with one another. So let's read verses 6 and 7 and then unpack those a little bit. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And there's a lot in that statement when you stop and think about it. Peter again begins with a call to humility. First he says, humble yourselves to one another. Now he's saying, humble yourselves to God. Humble yourself under his mighty hand. Now humbling yourself is what leads you to have the kind of openness and honesty with one another that just freely shares who you are and where you are. It's not pridefully inflating the good things about yourself, and it's not self-defeating. It's just letting the reality be known. That's the kind of humility that Peter is calling us to. Just let yourself be open to who you are before God, before the mighty God, the God who is all-powerful and all-knowing. And that can be a scary thing. Think about how God knows all the things that I've done wrong. He knows all the ways I've fallen short. What's he going to do with that? In our world, our experience with that is so often is that's going to lead to judgment and separation. It's going to lead to condemnation. But this is where God meets us and where he wants us to meet one another. He wants us to have the kind of relationship at which when we can be humble with him. And that is where real growth begins to happen. As we saw in that video, that's where real healing can occur. Peter states this promise about God, that when we humble himself under his mighty hand, he will exalt us in due time. Or as the NIV says, that he will lift you up in due time. And what I see here is that the Almighty God, as I said, who already knows our failings and faults, instead of judging us, reaches out and meets us where we are. And when the time is right, he's going to lift us up. God's not going to shame you. He's not going to crush you. He's not going to hold things over you and use them against you. And those are all the reasons we so often have for hiding ourselves, for keeping those things locked inside because we can't let anyone know. God's not like that. He takes you just as you are. He'll take whatever you're willing to offer up to him and help you to rise above it all in the proper time. He's not going to force change on you. He's not going to insist you must be different now. He will take you as you are and lift you out of the place you're currently in as you're ready to move and grow and change. Knowing this about God, Peter goes on to say, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Cast all of your anxieties, everything, every worry, every doubt, every fear, every anxious thought you have. Just open it up to the Lord is what he's saying here. The New Century Version says, give all your worries to him because he cares about you. Whatever it is that troubles you, don't hold it back from God. This is an invitation to express it all to God. Including the things we don't want to admit out of fear of judgment or another negative reaction. And Peter points out that we can freely do this with God because he cares about us. God cares about every aspect of your life. He cares to know all that is going on with you. You may think, when we say that, that God already knows everything, right? He already knows everything that's going on in your life. He probably knows it better than you do. And this is true. But God cares enough for you to allow you to share that with him. And I think that's where you see the empathy of God coming through. He doesn't just come along and say, I already know everything, just get your act together and fix it. He comes into our lives and allows us to share. He invites us to share, to open up our lives to him, to cast our anxieties on him. There's something powerfully important in that, for you to be able to share where your heart is with God and not just hold it in because God already knows. It's not until you express those things and cast those things on God that unlocks those things inside you and allows God to work with you in them. And I think that's part of the reason God calls us into fellowship with one another, to be people who care for one another the way God cares for us. All those things that Peter set this chapter up with for people in the church to do, he's calling us to have the same kind of care that God has for us so that we can help one another get to that place of freedom with the Lord where growth can happen, to unlock those things that we hold deeply within inside ourselves. God cares enough about you that he's not just going to come along and say, I'm just going to fix you right now. Think about how demoralizing that is. If God was to just come and just say, okay, you're just a project to me. I'm just going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with you and just tell you what to do. It removes you from the growth process completely. Takes you as a person out of the equation and treats you like an object to be shaped by someone else. God doesn't do that for us. He works with us. He meets us in our places of anxiety and hurt and loneliness. He invites us to open up. And as we're ready to share with him, he gently guides us and lifts us up. And often he gives us brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with us as well. He does all this because he cares about you. I think it's important to understand what that means, that God cares about you. It's not just a matter of him caring about your life enough to provide what you need. Often we talk about God's provision. He knows the things that you need. He's going to provide for you. Well, God cares about you more than that. And it's not just that he cares about how you live, that he's looking to instruct you and tell you what to do and waiting for you to finally obey. And it seems to me that's a very common image of our relationship with God in our world today, that God is the all-knowing creator, the Lord, who's given us a bunch of rules to live by, and he's told us what we ought to do. And if only we would get our act together, we would finally be okay. And that's commonly the way this interaction with God is expressed. And we, in turn, as Christians, seeking to demonstrate the image of God, start to tell people how they ought to be or how they should be. Because we care about them, right? I care about you too much to let you keep living this way. And I'm going to tell you how you ought to be living. Because we believe that's how God interacts with us. God cares about us much more than that. Yes, he wants you to live differently. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to change. But he's not going to come and do it in a way that just tells you what to do. When Peter writes, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you, he is pointing out that God cares enough to pay attention to where you are today, to hear your anxious thoughts, and to be with you in them. He's going to be present in all your worries and doubts and shortcomings and let you know you're not alone, that he is with you, that he understands. One of the powerful things about Jesus coming into the world is that he has experienced all the trials and troubles of life. He gets it. He knows why we struggle. He knows why we give in to temptation. He knows the challenges. He knows how hard it is to live in this world. He can relate, and he does, because he cares about you. He wants to hear those anxious thoughts and to be present in your worries and doubts. I really enjoy the way the Message version states this passage. It says, live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. That's such a great image. He is most careful with your life. So you can be carefree with him. You can open up your life to him completely. Share everything that is in the depths of your heart without worry that he is going to cast you aside. And that's such an essential part of God's character to understand. It's freeing to know that God is with you as you humbly open yourself up to him. So again, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Live carefree before God. And he is most careful with you. There's nothing in your life that God is not prepared to handle. He has already shown us that he is patient and gentle and grace-filled toward us. He will not condemn you if you're open and honest with him. And that is the starting point of actually dealing with those things and moving to a new place. As powerful and mighty as God is, he cares enough to enter into your life just where you are right now. And to be with you through all that experience, through any of the garbage that needs to be worked out, through any of the stuff that has to be brought to light, he is inviting you to offer anything you need to begin moving forward. And in due time, he will lift you up. Again, he doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't just come and give you a pat on the back and say, it's going to be okay. He understands, and he waits for you to be ready. He gives you the gentle guidance of the Holy Spirit, the truth of his word to show us the way to move forward. And he helps lift us and guide us through it. And as we experience this care from the Lord, we become more capable of showing the same kind of care for one another. And God allows us to be used by him to help grow and heal one another in powerful ways. And so I hope you can understand in a new way today what it means to cast your anxieties on the Lord and what it means that he cares for you. He cares deeply about your life. And once again, he's not just waiting for you to finally listen and come to him. He is coming to you. He's present with you in everything that you have. And as we go through this Lenten period, as we think about things we might want to grow and change in, again, remember that God is someone that you can fully express yourself to. He will understand. He'll understand why you've tried and failed so many times in the past. But he will be there with you to walk through it again. This is the kind of Lord that God is. One who is gentle and caring, even as he wants us to grow and change. Let's give thanks to God for his goodness. May we all experience his closeness in new ways today and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord. We thank you that you work with us, Lord. You know each of us in deep and personal ways. May we discover the freedom to share those things with you, Lord, to open ourselves up to you in ways we never have before. Give us the confidence and the faith in you, Lord, to freely discover your guidance in new ways. May you help us all grow and overcome all those things that hold us back from truly living fully for you, Lord. We thank you for your presence here today as you bless us, Lord, with your grace, your love, each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.